Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Happened.
It.
We did not worth it. The name of this episode. Hey, and welcome to QED, where we're doing a live Jackie and Lori show.
Yeah. Yep. Astoria, Queens. Cambrie Cruz. I watched her on Facebook put this thing together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It, she did a lot of the stuff herself, and it's pretty inspiring.
Oh, you watched her put the space together.
Yeah, she would just show photos of laying down flooring and, you know, painting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Good for her.
Okay.
How about this? Good
all right,
for
asshole.
Us. Well, be one well, of those, well. Eh? We traveled 3,000 miles so I could be called an asshole. And so, yeah. So have you, when you took a red eye last night,
yes.
I've been here for days or a day and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were your shows this week?
Well, I did, what the hell was my, I got here yesterday. It was very exciting. I flew.
People can't even see.
Yeah, why don't we move forward?
Yes.
Move forward.
No,
yeah.
There we go.
Careful.
Yeah.
Now you can see. Look at the side of us.
Thank you. They can't see me. It's devastating.
It is devastating.
All right.
Lean into it. So I came from Milwaukee. It was Valentine's Day, which is the traditional day that all women comics get work.
Yes.
And it's just like Groundhog Day. All groundhogs get work. And I did a show with Carmen Morales in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. She went to breakfast with my dad. My dad... at one point, he flirted with her.
Of course.
Because that's what he does.
Right.
And I'm doing a joke about how he's the only one who I've ever seen successfully flirt with absolutely everyone. And by definition, the flirting, right?
Right.
Because the definition of flirting.
Well, my question is, did Cameron bang your dad?
No. No. No,
wait, I'm Carmen. Sorry, why did I say Cameron?
Cameron, because Cameron
know.
Esposito also not sleeping with my father.
You're right. I have all my C lady comics in one file in my brain.
Carmen Lynch, Anyway, so now Carmen Morales, she didn't, but she was very funny because she laughed when he said it, and she was like, "Always working it, always working it, Elliot," because she's heard the bit.
Right.
And
sure.
So it was but it was really fun. We sold out a tiny it's a small, beautiful space underneath a very weird mall in downtown Milwaukee. And I remember when that wall was made in 1985 or 6 or whatever. And it was super fun. And here's the weird story that comes out of that. There was a kid that I babysat for who is now the lead singer for a Beatles Metallica mashup band. Called Beatallica. And they are huge in Germany.
I'm sure.
Why wouldn't they be?
That seems 100% necessary.
Yes. But he is a delight. But he, it was so funny. He introduced me to his new girlfriend. He came to the show and she asked me something about starting stand-up and I told the old story about heckling Sam Kinison, how I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And Tinker, which is what his nickname is now, and has been for the last 30 years. People call him Tinker. And he's a really good guy. He said, yeah, I was there for that. And I was like, I never remembered who I was with because I was so fucking hammered. All I remember is the stand-up and the manager coming over and telling me to shut the fuck up and that open mic is on Sundays.
So there... Do you have to say a certain amount of words in a minute or you don't get paid by God? Sometimes you fucking hammer that shit in. I'm like, do you even know what you're saying?
I know what I'm saying, but I was afraid you were going to interrupt.
Oh, okay. No, please continue with your monologue. There are living witnesses to your when you were fun. When you were...
Oh, when I was a giant fucking drunk?
Yes,
there are definitely witnesses to that.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
That's a reason to go to Wisconsin.
Wow, do you want to go out to dinner with one of them tomorrow? She lives here.
No.
No, you're going home tomorrow.
I'll be on a plane.
You'll be on a plane. Yeah, no, the thing is, if you met the people who knew me when I was a drunk, they'd be like, not that great. Unless they too are drunks. And then they're like, we had a great time. We remember.
Well, I on our little, okay, somebody asked me about Chris Hardwick working again.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I guess so. I didn't care that much.
Right, because you didn't really know or you didn't.
What I slot him with Aziz. I put him in the same category of terrible boyfriends.
Yeah.
And I don't put them in the same category as Louis or, you know,
Bill
the guy
Cosby.
That's a rapist. Exactly.
Weinstein.
Yeah, no, the other guy.
Yeah.
So whose name we can't say, but, you know.
Right. Voldemort.
Yeah. Trump. Yes.
Donald Trump.
Finally a reference I get.
There we go.
So I sort of mentioned it in our text group, and I feel like all the comedians under 35 were like really annoyed with me and angry.
Oh, for being willing to work with him?
Yeah, or just that I didn't say, oh no, that guy should never work again.
Yeah, that's I there. It's a line. If you slapped an ass, if you were a terrible boyfriend, yes. But I can't.
What do you mean, yes?
I will. Did you read? I guess I'm just going to make the statement and then try to defend myself.
Okay.
which is...
Isn't that your headlining set?
Well. There's any number of... I was given hope by... what's her name who wrote this art? I've decided I'm going to work with all of them and I'm just going to make fun of all of them.
Yeah, sure. Right.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm just... Because the thing is when I worked with them back in the 80s and 90s, I didn't have the power to make fun of them. I had to just sort of suck it up.
Right.
But at this late date, who gives a shit? They're going to get the tongue lashing and not a good one.
Oh, my God.
Dick joke.
You're out of control horny tonight. I can't handle it.
I'm not going to see my husband for like a week. It's very disappointing. Anyway.
Well, like if I was in a club and like a L.A. or a New York club where there's 10 million comics, not a road week, but like, you know, where there's 20 comics doing 10 minutes and Chris Hardwick was one of them. I would have the same feeling I have towards a lot of comics that are working like, ugh. But I'm sure he'll do fine, whatever. But
do you want to start writing down names immediately?
but the response of some other female comics was a little harsher, and if you of course didn't rescue me whatsoever, you left me dangling in the thread.
On the thread?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, well,
I don't know.
She's strong, you guys. Anyway, but the thing, did you read that article of the comic whose name I'm spacing, who was working a porn convention?
Oh, Lisa Traeger.
It was Lisa Traeger.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So Lisa Traeger's working some porn convention. She loves porn.
The AVN, the adult video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's, for half the article is about that. And the other half of the article is, of course, about being a woman in comedy. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to take all the sets. I'm going to make all the money and you could all fuck off.
Right, right.
And
right.
I was like, yeah, do it, lady. Yeah. And it was kind of impressive because she's under 35.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the up-and-coming, you know, because all these young women comics, in my opinion, are fucking monsters. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're not taking shit, and they don't have to. But they also, I like the ones that are like, I'm not going to take shit, but I'm also going to take the money. So, because the thing is if I don't work with Chris Hardwick, if I don't work, and my thing about Chris Hardwick and Aziz, did you hear the thing about, somebody actually broke down the Aziz thing?
No, it's not a scroll to be studied. It's not the Talmud. It's just like he has some fucking awful moves, and he needs to find the right lady who likes the claw. That's basically it.
I fucking want to grow up and be you. That's so funny. Because I didn't know the details. I just knew that it wasn't that big a fucking deal. That's what I knew.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess it depends.
It depends. It was a big deal to the people involved.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. And I don't mean to, you know, but regrettable consensual sex occurs.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, thank God I used a condom. And he goes and brushes his teeth.
But the other thing, it's like, go back and reread the blog. No, No.
You're not going to do it?
I'm not studying people's...
the offenses?
Yeah, I just can't.
No, but, fair enough.
But I don't know. I just felt like, oh, maybe I'm off, you know? But I mean, I know there's so many, you know, somebody like... who I respect a lot. This is going to sound like I'm slamming him, but like Bobby Slayton's not necessarily an easy guy to work with, especially in the 90s. But
and today,
I would say Chris Hardwick's probably easier to work with because he's been, the spotlight has been shown on a pretty nasty part of his personality, and he's going to overcompensate and be very nice. I love it when abusers are are forced to be nice. It's like, thank you. Benefits.
Right. Right. And but, if, yeah.
You know, I've just worked with so many guys where I'm still shocked when male comics are kind. You know, in a way,
yeah.
like Josh Gondelman or Maddie Donahue, I'm like, what? Are they being sarcastic?
When you meet Jake,
right? Like,
If you were to meet Maddie Dave Kirshen? Ross or, yeah. or Jake Weissman,
yes.
and Eli Ellsberg, I mean, if you meet these guys who are in their mid-30s, who have work and they have the ear of the industry and they have opportunities that... guy, and they're good men.
Yeah.
They're good, decent men. You're like, oh, I would hang out with that person. I mean, but I've spent 30 years not hanging out with other dudes.
Right. And just, and the attitude of, this is my club and we're going to let you do a set, girly. That was sort of just the way we were raised.
Yep.
So my bar is so low that if somebody...
I got to pull this cord.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, somebody claws a lady every now and again. I'm like, eh.
Shit happens. Live defensively. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is if, I mean, what I like, to some extent, what is happening is sort of a turnaround kind of thing, and it's not, you know, to support any of these dirtbags, but it's men, the only way to make men realize that we have all lived defensively is for them to have to live a little defensively.
Oh, right.
But it's not... It's not on purpose. I mean, we're not doing it because we're bitches, man. We're doing it because we're trying to warn each other not to go hang out with that dude because he tends to corner you and then grab your crotch.
Right, right.
And you're like, hey, I don't want my crotch grabbed by a stranger. Mm-hmm. And please ask.
One of our friends warned me about somebody I didn't know was problematic. But I guess when he drinks, it's...
Who is this?
I don't know.
When he drank, well, do it. It's fine. Who cares?
You guys.
That's why he's come.
No, I feel like she told me it. She told me in confidence, so I can't.
Well, don't write her name down.
No, she told. I know. She told me his name in confidence, and I can't. I'm sorry. Everyone, what if everyone
guess
stormed
what? That
out
guy's
right
psyched.
Now?
You got one guy who looks vaguely like Doug Benson in the crowd, who's like, "Thank God." Who knows what I did when I was stoned? Here's the thing about we're just gonna keep moving. Doug Benson. I once walked a block and a half with Doug Benson, and I'm not even kidding you. Over 10 people offered him a joint, and he took a hit from every single one of them. And that guy works.
He is on brand, and he never stops being Doug Benson,
it's
and I
true.
Appreciate that about him.
Well, and he produces almost more than anybody I know. That guy has, like, 9 podcasts and does stand-up and like, literally, imagine, he could probably cure cancer.
If but he I'm glad he's smoking. Not putting that energy towards cancer and instead just putting it towards more podcasts.
Is that what you're, yeah.
That's what we need.
So then I did 2 sets last night in Brooklyn.
Okay.
In front of the nicest haircuts in the world.
Right.
They were very nice hipsters. I was at the Cobra Club, which turned immediately after the show into a very loud bar. And I was like, I didn't even like this. Here's the thing. If I ever drink again, it will be at a dive bar, and that's where I will give up. I will just sit at a very empty bar, and it will be me, another lady who smoked her whole life, and an older gentleman who wants to tell me stories. And we'll fix the world from that bar by not moving.
Do you feel like when you hit 85, you are allowed to return to alcoholism?
No, I do. There are some people who say that. They're like, well, I... This
That's
is
a valid question for any 12-stepper out there.
This is a valid question for anyone who does not have any sort of addiction besides an excessive amount of swimming. No, that's not how alcoholism works. For me, for you, do whatever the fuck you want. But it all works out.
If you're having trouble staying sober, if you could tell yourself, when I'm 85, I can break it, will that get you through the next 60 years?
No. That's not. That's also not how it works for me. For me, it works with... here's a parable that
oh, all right, Jesus,
thank you. And no, my father-in-law, when I the first time I met him, he lived outside of Hot Springs in a little town called Mount Ida, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And he had dogs, and he would train bird dogs for field trials. And the first morning after we came and stayed with them, he said, "Hey, Jackie, you want a breakfast beer?" And I said, "Not today, Clyde. Maybe not tomorrow, but definitely not today." And the thing is it was always like some shitty old style or some fucking thing. And so I don't know if I definitely, I mean,
is this true that your father-in-law lives in Arkansas, is named Clyde?
Yeah, he's dead though. I didn't kill him. Yeah. Why dead people suck.
That was not my first question.
No, I know. But I always like to jump to the meat of it. Yeah, he had Lou Gehrig's disease and passed away. Yeah, yeah. And he spent like the last 6 months with him, like a lot, and absolutely never regretted it, by the way. Feel free to go stare at your old people.
Yeah.
You won't regret it because they will be gone, and then you will have stared at them, and then you'll be like, "I remember that time."
What was your second set?
My zone. Okay. It's gotten far too real. No, the second set was Cobra. The first set was Halyard's Bitches Brew. Bitches Brew, and then I went to the Cobra, and I forget the name of that show, but they were both great. They were both cool. Super fun. And the first 3 days I'm in New York, every time I come here, I take cabs and lifts everywhere.
Yeah.
And then $200 later,
I'm
like, why don't I relearn the subway system? And I did that, and then I got offered a job at the New York Comedy Club at 11:30, 12 o'clock.
A job.
Okay. I think of it as work. I think of it as a anyway. So yeah, spot. And but I couldn't face it because I'd traveled all day. And,
oh, sure.
And then but I'm staying at a very nice hotel. The apartment is as big as my garage. Like, it's huge compared to people's apartments.
Are you doing an Airbnb?
No. But it's somebody's house. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, you just said apartment. Are you staying in a hotel apartment?
Did I say apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, it's bigger than some people's apartments is what I meant.
We're both very tired, but she more than I.
And well, no, the weird thing is, I'm staying at a hotel.
Okay.
Staying at like a Hilton.
Okay.
And I sent the lift to the wrong one today. It cost me an extra $20. I was very irritable. And I was like, what are you doing? Because I always follow along. Do you ever follow along in the back of the lift?
I do sometimes.
I always follow
along. Yeah.
I don't want to get snatched.
I was... I was running out of battery last night, this very early this morning when I got in, and the guy went way around, like went into the Bronx to take me down to Harlem.
Yeah,
and I was like, "What's happening?" But I didn't want him to know I was running out of battery, so I was just looking at my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
oh, you just happen to know where you live?
Kinda. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I hadn't gone this way before. But
so we need to get you an external battery, one of these guys right here, these little chargers,
okay.
External chargers.
All right,
that's gonna happen.
We'll shop later.
We're gonna save
up.
I
had Valentine's Day. I did at Flappers with Kira.
Oh, did you, Kira Sultanovich?
Yeah, it was fun. I think Valentine's Day is becoming like New Year's Eve, where it's people that aren't into comedy necessarily go to a show and have like a big meal and stuff like that. Yeah,
boo.
So it wasn't the most. It wasn't like the hip crowd I'm used to at Flappers. You know, they were a little into their into their steaks and
right.
And people like
real nice meatloaf there.
Their food's really good.
Actually, it is.
But everything you say sounds sarcastic. Sometimes people can't tell.
I do comedy.
I have to repeat. Say, no, she means it. It's good. But, like, I'm on stage and a guy is filling out the form for the raffle. It's like, have you not been to it? Dude, this is your raffle. This is your prize right here. It's me telling jokes. Wait, why are you fucking filling out your raffle form? That's what I mean by people new to comedy. They think they're going to win a cruise at the end of the show. You're going to get tickets to see another show, motherfucker.
That's it.
So
the whole thing.
Just enjoy the one you're at.
I will say this about my Milwaukee show is that nobody was there for Valentine's Day.
Ah.
It was awesome. They were literally just comedy fans because the Milwaukee comedy scene, the club closed. And so there's just local comics running, like doing pop-ups and stuff like that. And they are a delight. They are wonderful. And so there was a bunch of them. And then Carmen went off to do 2 one-nighters afterwards. One in the UP, 5.5 hours away.
UP, Upper Peninsula.
Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I knew it.
You knew it. And then one in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which I marched in their bratwurst parade when I was in high school in the band. Speaking of high school, I got a call, and I don't know if I should even, because she can't possibly listen to it. This woman I went to high school with has, I did, attached to my high school is now a little theater. My town, South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, population 20,000, has a performing arts center attached to the high school now. And it has been open for 15 years. And so she emailed me and she said, hey, we're having a 15-year anniversary. For our 10th anniversary, we did a talent show, a local talent show with 60 acts.
Oh, my God.
At which point I was like, oh, I know where this is going. I want to hang up. I want to hang up. I want to hang up. Please let me hang up. And I really like this woman. She's turned into a very nice adult human.
But
a
terrible booker.
But a weird, weird show. I was like, 60? And she said, yeah, it was a 2.5-hour show. And I was like, that's a blatant lie. That's a blatant.
No.
There's absolutely no way. And then she told me the host that they had hired was a mime. Nobody fucking saw that coming.
So that's the guy that introduced all the acts?
Yeah.
The guy that doesn't speak?
Which will chop off some of the time from.
That's true.
Just waving people on and off. And so then, so we're talking and she literally said, we were thinking about you to host the 15-year where you would host the talent show. And I said, you can't afford me.
Yes. Right.
Never say no without a number, and which is the Elliot Cation motto, right?
Right, right, right.
And then she said, how much would it be? And it would be one day,
yeah,
easily, an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
And I said, $11,000. And she paused, and she said, we might be able to do that. It's a lot of money.
Oh my God.
But I was like, why didn't I say 30? But if she does, I win either way, right?
Oh,
I mean, if
God.
I don't have to do it, that is a win.
Right.
And I did tell her, I said, there are plenty of local comics. And I know at least 3 comics from Milwaukee or Wisconsin that would do it. Like Tom Clark is from Milwaukee. He would do it for probably 5.
Yeah, now he knows their budget is up to 11.
Right, but I'm going to stop booking people. I've gotten so many fucking, I got a text, I got a bunch of, and it's love. I mean, I want to be of some use, right? Mm-hmm. So I got a text message saying, hey, needs an opener in Pittsburgh. Who do you know? And I was like, what am I?
Who do I know? You know yourself.
Well, except for that, I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh for $500.
Oh, right.
They wanted a local Pittsburgh comic. And I was like, did you talk to Michelle Ballund? She lives in Pittsburgh.
No, she lives in Philadelphia.
Well, whatever. It's right there. And they had.
You really are of no help.
I am of help because Robert Jenkins took it and he lives in Detroit. I was like, the closest person I know is in Detroit. And because I said, well, did you ask Michelle Balloon? And they said, yes. And I said, but she can't do it. And I said, well, did you ask her for another suggestion? You're talking to her. She is in Philadelphia. She's got to know a Philly comic or somebody. And I think, what did they say? They said, we didn't ask her.
Here's the real
problem.
And
I was like, why is it easier to fucking ask me?
Why is only paying $500 for openers?
Well, that's of course is a key thing because of course Maria, and that's what I texted Robert Jenkins, who put those exclamation points on the text message, because I was like, just know that like Brian Regan I think starts at $1,250 per show.
Wow.
And Maria starts at $1,200 or pays me $1,200. I don't know if she might start at like 8 or 6 or whatever.
Wow.
Plus Aaron Hotel. And so I don't know. And I think it's 500 flat. But I think a lot of people do 500 because they don't know. Remember I had that conversation?
Have they forgotten what it's
like? Yeah, what it's like to be human? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, to be poor, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It fucking sucks. Yes. So when you are rich and famous, feel free to pay someone fair, which is what Brian Regan and Marie Bamford do, yeah. Right? And any number of comics, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. You can applaud for them.
I got off. I turned down a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, this weekend.
For Hardwick?
No. Okay. All of a sudden, I turn into his greatest defender. Listen. 3,000 to open for somebody.
Wait, to do this? Feel free to buy the merch, guys.
I told you that, you're like, this isn't confirmed. Go get that gig. And then I tried to again, and they had already needed somebody immediately.
Do you know why? Because it was $3,000. And everyone was like, oh, yes. Thinking. Yes, I would love to do whatever that is.
But I'm enjoying this immensely.
Of course you are. Yeah, I am. And there'll be another time, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing about stand-up comedy. There's always another show,
yes.
Right? Like tonight I just did QED before this.
No, this is QED.
Before this, I just did QED.
No.
I'm at fucking QED. I'm so sorry. I did The Creek in the Cave.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is not this. It's a different place. It's a building not far from here, and yet a Lyft ride that was $25.
Jackie, you are frantic tonight.
I am a little twitchy. I don't know what my problem is. But, they were super quiet. And
right.
I was working on that bit that I did tonight about women being people. And there was a lot of judgment. And I was like, even for, like, the women were even quiet. And I was like, hey, those are the punchlines, fuckers.
it's a new concept to some people.
It's that joke. I've only been working on that joke for literally like three shows in that iteration.
Oh, I see.
So it is hit and miss, perhaps. I might be at fault.
Oh, that's yours. I think I'm working on a late night set.
Good.
But I don't feel like
you got a plan?
Like, I don't like what I have available, or it doesn't feel tight enough for a late night set, but I need to like get it together in a month.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's hilarious. Have you ever done a show where they've booked you and gone, do whatever you want?
No. They're not. Okay. And they're not doing that.
They're not doing that in this case.
No. It's just like, hey, I need it by this deadline, and so I don't think that the Anne Frank thing. I don't think I can open with it.
Why?
Because
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Because it's an Anne Frank joke. That's why.
No, it's not an Anne Frank joke.
No, it is not. But
it's
the thing is, Anne Frank will overpower that joke if it's on television and you open it.
It depends how I do it.
True.
But I don't. I think I need to. Like,
I'm going to backpedal. You are correct.
Okay.
It's
how many words do you have left before you can calm down?
1,100.
Oh fuck. No, it feels like I need an opening joke that's a little more innocuous, just to go, hi, I'm funny, and then go into something that's a little darker. But that the opening joke I would normally do, I did on the gala, the CW show, that the JFL gala, you know,
okay.
They aired on the CW. So I don't think I can open with it again, that mushroom joke. So I don't have like a short, quick joke, I don't think, right? To go into it yet. Unless I, you know.
Do you want one of mine?
No.
Okay.
No.
That good.
No, I'm just.
Because I'm using them. But
just,
yes. No, but you're talking it through. But you
yeah.
Yeah. I think, the thing is you have a lot of stuff that you haven't, that you're working on. So I think that there's definitely, what, 5 or 6 minutes? That's what
it's
you're
five.
Looking for?
Yeah, it'd be yeah? five. Yeah. But I mean, like the circumcision stuff, that might be okay, but it's older, but I think it would open things up. I just need to like I need to open for myself in a
right.
way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, you always do. I mean, you literally have to introduce yourself in some way, shape,
right.
or form
and
with
then,
that first joke.
And
yeah.
there's so little time. Oh, that's our 30 minute. Okay. We have somebody giving us a light of 30 so we can pause dramatically while
while Max Fun tells you about this.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we're the hosts of Dr. Game Show, which is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, regardless of quality or content, with in-studio guests and callers from all over the world.
And you can win a custom magnet.
A custom magnet.
Subscribe now to make sure you get our next episode.
What's an example of a game, Manolo?
Pokemon or medication.
How do you play that?
You have to guess if something's a Pokemon name or medication.
Medication.
First time listener, if you want to listen to episode highlights and also know how to participate, follow Dr. Game Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We'd love to hear
from
you.
It's really fun.
For the whole family. We'll be every other Wednesday starting March 13th, and we're coming to Max Fun!
Snorlax.
Pokemon?
Yes.
Nice.
And we're back.
and we're back.
There's like little shoots, little green shoots that I feel like, there's a couple areas I wanted to try to poke around in, but I'm like, is this ready for a 5-minute TV set? I'm not really sure. And if it's not, then what do I do? Like some older stuff, or I don't really know. But you never turn down a TV spot. That's my feeling. You never know if you're going to die.
Right.
But I don't want
to. That's not why I do it. But I mean, it's if you need to, it seems fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Well.
Like I was at Eastville tonight, and I kind of tried a different order, and then you know what? It was fine, but it's not. I went bing bing bing. I went the fucking shit to kill, and so I'm like, oh, this isn't it. And then I'm spending a lot of time in my set going, oh.
Right,
well,
that's never.
Well, it's a Saturday night crowd that paid like $30 to see the show.
Right.
And I'm like, oh.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I have rage. But I'll tell you, that's what happened because it went so well last night in Brooklyn that I tried at the Creek in the Cave to open my set with the people joke. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, maybe this could be the first joke that I opened my set with. And it turns out it is far, because it is, at its heart, kind of an abortion joke.
Right.
And it's a women's rights joke, and mm-hmm. it has all this baggage and all this bullshit that goes with it, and it's brand new, mm-hmm. so it's just not tight enough, and it's not buried enough for somebody not to be all sad at me after the show, and or for them not to judge me for the next 12 minutes of my set, you know, which is what I learned at Creek in the Cave, is because there was some grumpiness.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Or maybe they were just a bad
Or maybe
crowd.
It was just the third time I did it. How about that?
Yeah, I mean,
one of those two things has happened.
Not every show teaches you things you never knew before.
I have learned so... You're right. You're completely... Let's do Comic of the Week.
Oh, yes.
You know who the Comic of the Week is?
Our Comic of the Week. You saw her open for us tonight.
Right there. Emily Walsh. Emily Walsh. You memorized her Twitter handle.
It's at Walsh_E_Walsh.
Walsh_E_Walsh?
Yeah.
It'll be in the notes.
Wow.
Emily Walsh. She's so funny, though.
No, she's very funny. I feel bad because we should have introduced her. She just went up cold.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. But, she's back there full of rage.
Yeah. she's saying the same shit backstage. Did you read the Dane Cook article in the Hollywood Reporter?
I didn't. What's Dane up to? I heard that he was going long when he was getting guest sets at the Improv.
Oh, really?
And then they were like, hey, man, get it together.
Okay.
Because going long is terrible if you go over 3 minutes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, if you're given a 15-minute spot and you do 18, that's fine.
And you're in the middle of a show where comics are going up after you, and some of them might have children at home or babysitters or day jobs.
Right. Or this is the only set they got that week.
Right. And they don't want to follow you doing an hour. Right.
Right. And so, but he, I guess, has gotten it together and has tightened it up. So, okay. But what was the article about?
Oh, it was just a strange article about his past and being super successful and then being kind of where he is now, which is, I don't know what they were, how they described it. It's sort of, but
Was it a where is he now kind of thing?
No. He's doing a comeback tour, right?
Oh, okay.
But it's like, but come back from, I always think like you should be like hospitalized or jailed and then you make your comeback. So it's like a comeback from success. Right. Because he almost started at when did he do Madison Square Garden? When he was like 5 years in or something?
Right.
Like
it was early days.
It was way too early. For me, I would think that's, you've set your standards so high that how are you going to have the rest of your career if you did Madison Square Garden when you were like under 30?
And I have this to say about Madison Square Garden. Not a comedy venue.
Terrible. Horrible room.
I'd much rather do QED.
Very much rather
do you did your earlier set tonight, QED. And,
oh my God. But I will say, I did Carnegie Hall. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, let me pick that up. I dropped that.
Yeah.
And so.
It's fine.
But Carnegie Hall is for, I mean, it's like, it's Madison Square Garden has to be like that. Did you ever see his Comedy in the Round special?
A little bit of it, yeah.
I don't know where that was recorded, but I swear to God it was done because he liked his own ass. Because Comedy in the Round is a terrible idea. I mean, look at people while you're telling them jokes.
Yeah, it's not a good comedy.
It's not great.
It's terrible.
But I remember seeing.
But you know what? Yeah? I'm in favor of comedians, you know, liking their own asses.
Or at least making peace with it.
Yeah, yeah.
we all
have body images, so if you've got a nice ass and you're okay with it, that's all right.
Right. And that's fine. And he was very cute and certainly very handsome for comics, right? But
yes, although let me tell you something. I cannot stand watching comedians in sex scenes. It disgusts me more than anything. Like,
so you never saw Take Five?
No, I didn't see Take Five. I can't watch Crashing because I know Pete Holmes has sex in. I'm like, I can't. I know Pete. I don't want to see him. I didn't see Amy's movie with Rory Scovel because they fucking kissed in it. I can't take it. I don't. Like, that's not, I don't, like, that's for improv actors, is sex scenes, not stand-ups. It really skeeves me out, and it's so far, there's not a single stand-up.
What if it's just a peck?
Not us. No.
Nobody's writing slash fiction yet? Okay, I'm about
Yeah,
I've silenced her.
So I have.
Anyway, no, you're right. It's the thing
I didn't
is
see any of Dane Cook's sex scenes.
So many. There's just like there's. I don't want to. To some extent, you don't want to see sex scenes. I don't want to see comics who get like. I love Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
Keep your fucking shirt on. I don't want to. It's
but
like
that's what
and
his fans love about him.
Right. It's what his fans love about him, and I'm sure he's done with pulling his shirt off as well. But now they're like, take your shirt off.
I don't think so. I think he's just started pulling his shirt off.
Oh no, it's been several years of this.
I know, but he's finally getting into it.
All right. Well, there you go.
There isn't a female comic acting like that though on Instagram.
I was talking
pulling up and showing a gut and.
I was talking to Carmen about, mm-hmm. and she was talking about how she didn't think, because she is like 30 or something. You know, she's like a 11 years old, right? Carmen Morales.
Right.
And so we're sitting at breakfast, and she's talking about how, you know, sometimes just dudes think it's funny to wander around with their pants down. They just think their dicks are funny, and if they're not hard, why is that big of a deal? And
wandering around where?
At clubs, in green rooms. Just,
oh, in the green room?
Yeah,
I have not seen a loose dick in a green room ever.
I have, but not for decades. So, and I'm okay with that.
So guys are doing that now around Carmen?
No. Well, she didn't say that. She didn't give me any specifics. I'm so sorry. I cannot write anything down for you. But I said, so that's okay. And she wasn't defending it. She was just saying that it didn't bother her because she didn't fucking care. And
why didn't she fucking defend me on that text chain then when I was defending Chris Hardwick? She's
right.
Okay with penises
because
out.
Every time
why
I
did
log-
everyone leave me hanging?
If I were to turn on this phone right now, that fucking text chain would have 77. Like that would be the number next to it because it would be everyone going, oh my God, I'm sitting in the middle of nowhere. And because that's what it is. It's 18 women comics. And And instead, you started that Dex Jane, by the way. And you started it so that, because you needed to get rid of a set, and you thought, I want to recommend other women comics.
I had to cancel a set.
You had to cancel a set. And so you're like, hey, does anyone want to do the set? So you started this Dex Jane with like seven people, and it now has 18 people on it. And we're all just like, what about this fucking thing? And so anyway, so but here's what I did when Carmen was talking to me about dudes sitting around with their flaccid dicks and jumping up and down, and, and how it was funny for them because they're, you know, everybody's a 6 year old inside. And I appreciate that. Yes,
I like that song. Thank you.
Okay. I've been wanting to hear it.
Are we going to have to pay rights?
No, it was under.
They had to took the Trump video down because they had they had REM music over it. Do you know what I'm talking about? He put up a video showing reactions of Democrats during the State of the Union, and they he retweeted somebody's video, and they put REM song over it. Everybody Hurts. And it got taken down because REM's like, what the fuck? And which they're allowed to do. And so
turns out it's theirs.
Anyway, that's a long way to explain a very short riff.
Okay. And so I said, well, what if I like whip my tit out right now? What if I just went in and just went, hey, would that be hilarious? And she was like, kind of. So what I'm saying is Carmen Morales doesn't mind a random body part.
Right.
So take a shoe off. Show her a toe. Look at this elbow. It looks like a scrotum. And
I don't like retaliatory body part showings. Like,
oh, I will
have to take out my breast just because you took out your... Because it seems still like a win for the guy. I'm not winning.
Yeah, no, that's why Darlene Westcor walked.
Maybe, like, if I didn't want to see a penis, a guy probably wouldn't want to see a C-section scar.
So
I just very, you know, carefully pulled my pants down.
Look at this.
And showed a rip across my stomach. I mean, it's sewn, it's healed, it's not open.
I'm overweight. I could just show them my belly, and they might be all grossed out. And I'd be like, "Watch this, fuckers!" And that would be retaliatory too, though.
You're having more sex than any comic I know. If your act is any indication,
if it's any indication, we do like to enjoy. But the thing is. We're married. It's all sanctioned by God and the government. We get
sure,
to do it.
Yeah. Oh, you're totally allowed to.
Yeah.
Hannah Gatsby is doing like a limited series at like a limited run at the Dynasty Typewriter.
Oh, is she?
Working on new shit. And I want to go, but part of me is like, I can't sit for 2 hours and watch comedy.
Nope. Sympathetic.
There needs to be like a separate place for comics to stand and rock back and forth on their feet. Wow, they're holding your iPhone, because that's how we watch comedy.
You can't experience it the way Sue Costello sitting in the back of the room.
That reminded me. I'm like, of course she can't watch us. She's
a
comic.
No, she was like, I would sit up close. And I said, why would you sit up close? Sit in the back, look at your phone.
Yes.
And then look up occasionally and go, oh, good.
That's how I know she's having a good time.
That's how I like to.
But I don't know if I can't stand in the back of the Dynasty. It's not that room. You know, it's like a theater.
Oh, right. The Dynasty and the back row is taken by, you know, muckety mucks who, much like us, I'd want to kind of sit in the back row, but they always sit on the edge, and then you'd have to sit in the middle, and then you feel trapped.
Being trapped in a comedy club. I need to know my exit routes as soon as I enter.
Right.
So I don't know. I kind of want to see what she's doing, but I don't think I can sit for that long. I just get so uncomfortable. Even like seeing a play or something, I'm like, oh, fuck, when's the intermission? I don't know how people do it.
Unless it's about sad Irishness. Remember that sad Irish play that we went to? That was beautiful.
It was good. And I just finished watching season one of Rebellion. It's so good. I mean, just finished like tonight before I came out.
Right.
It's this show on Netflix.
Was it about Robin Hood? No, it's probably about the Irish Rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost always going to be about the Irish Rebellion.
You have manic riff energy tonight. It just...
I'm a little twitchy. I'm looking forward to my $40 Lyft ride.
We could share a Lyft.
Yeah, let's. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really.
Do you want to hear this?
Yes.
Is so a friend of ours, someone we know. I will write this name down, and it's not going to be that exciting of a name, because this is a good story. I just don't want to out her doing a thing by name.
Do I get to know? Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm going to start with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So okay. this woman comic wanted to book another woman comic to open for her, but the woman had only been doing 10-minute sets in town, and they were all super dirty.
Okay.
And so she said, I need you to do, I'd like you to do 30 in front of me. And the woman goes, oh, I probably have 20 minutes clean. And she's like, okay, I'm going to, and she lowballed the other comic. She said, well, I'll give you $100 if you do 20 minutes, but I'll give you $200 if you do 25 clean. And so the woman wrote 10 additional clean minutes.
Oh.
And now she's got a 30-minute tape, and she can work anywhere in the country.
Nice.
It's a very heartwarming story.
It is.
It'll
now
resonate later. Because it's really hard to get work when you're featuring if you have a dirty set.
Is it?
Yes. To feature?
Really? I've worked with some features who are fucking filthy. It doesn't seem that hard to get work.
Well, in the Midwest it is.
Okay,
especially for like Yoder and Mueller and all those. And I don't even
one
know if Mueller's.
So it's hard to get one-nighter work when you're dirty? Are you telling
How
me that?
How weird is that? That is weird, but in the Midwest it is.
Okay.
Because the thing is they're lying. That's all it is. I mean, they're completely and entirely lying.
Who's lying?
The bookers are like, no, I need women to be clean. And it's always women.
Right, right, right.
And then you get there, and they don't care what you do once you get there. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to see their daughters and wives. And what I mean, they get up in their heads, man. And then they're, because I remember, and it's as far as I know, it's been the same for the last, you know, since 92.
Okay. Another part of your story. I hate to be a skeptic. But so she wrote 10 minutes immediately, and it all worked. And now she has 30 clean minutes.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure it works as well as it works. And I'm sure she went deep into her notebook and found stuff that was, and she cleaned up stuff that wasn't that dirty.
Yes.
You know, like people always say, are you dirty or you just swear? And so like, because I'm not particularly dirty, but I swear I tend to swear, especially if the stuff's new. I tend to swear.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm looking for the words and I fucking get angry.
It's literally giving a joke crutches so it can walk. And then, then when the joke gets good, then you can take the crutches away.
Yeah. That's funny. Gotta write that down.
I had to have a discussion with my son explaining that my mother has a terrible personality. And that your grandmother, she loves you, but she has a terrible personality. And I would
Thank God.
If you would start to try to be polite to her, even though you dislike her, because it's not her fault. She has a terrible personality. I'm trying to make it seem like it's a disorder that she has that we have to work around, because it really is. I mean,
it actually is.
She was never fun before, but now she's just completely depressed and old and in pain and all that kind of stuff. And so she just comes out, like the door opens. I immediately, my stomach cringes, you know, I'm like, what's coming? And it's just bad news, you know?
Yeah.
The dishwasher's not emptied. Like, I don't need that announcement while I'm watching Rebellion.
Well, but here's what
always,
I love, though.
It's always some household announcement. She doesn't have anything else to say but just information or some kind of nag that
right.
nobody wants to hear.
Right. But what you've done here, which I kind of think is amazing and I think it's important, is to give him permission to still love her but to be aware that that it isn't right. You
mm-hmm.
know, that
yeah.
that she is clearly, that there is something wrong. I have met this woman easily 10 times, and she's a pill. and she's not, I mean, the thing is I think she would be better if she did more things, as would we all, right? I mean, we all need some sort of social life.
Sure.
But she won't leave.
Right.
Right. So it's not, so she is, yeah, it is a disorder, and it's the best way to explain it to him, so that he can know that his grandmother is still his grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and he has to be polite to her. But he can't, he doesn't have to internalize it or take it personally, even though he's 12, and
right.
so he's screwed.
So for example, he came out of the shower and she looked at him, and And my mom, when she looks, like, her eyes are giant and they're green. And so it's very unnerving. It's like... It's like being undressed, you know, by a...
And the rest of her face is very still.
Yeah, so she just
so it's
stares.
All eyeballs.
It's like having an owl look at you. And her head moves around like she can follow you. My kid got upset. You know, now he needs to cover up. It's, you know, it's a two-way street. There's one bathroom. But, you know, so
he noodly?
What?
Was he all nude?
Yeah, he just got out of the shower. We shower in the nude at my house.
He didn't wrap a towel around his waist?
Jackie, he's 12. He's getting used to it. I mean,
okay.
It's you know, he could be naked and be like, stop looking at me. It's like, you could help everyone not look at you.
Why don't you wrap a towel around that business,
but
sir?
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Yeah, yeah. The journey continues.
So... He got really mad at her and very upset.
Yeah.
And her apology after me talking to him was, "I'm sorry if I made you upset," which is not an apology.
No,
I said what she should apologize is, "I'm sorry that I invaded your privacy, and I will try not to do it again."
Right.
You say you're sorry for your behavior. You keep their reaction out of it, and that was all I could do because I can't tell her that because then she'd be like, I can't say anything right. So I'm stuck with this person who won't change and just trying to explain her to my kid.
Right, right. There's that great book on apology, How to Apologize.
Oh, it's a whole book?
It's a whole book about how to apologize. It's a great book. It essentially just talks about when you apologize, you don't make it about the other person. You just, you don't do that thing that banana heads do, which is just like, hey, I'm sorry if you felt bad. You're nope.
The apology, it should never have an if in it.
Right.
Apology has an if, you did it wrong.
Right.
You need to recalibrate. You're like,
if you feel upset, well, clearly I did feel upset because I said to you, hey, asshole, please... Yeah. Please don't talk to me like that.
Just find out what you did wrong and then say you're sorry for it and then try
not to do it again.
Right.
That's the second part. Mm-hmm. Weirdos. Anyway.
I just to get back to comedy.
Yes, please.
So the stuff I did tonight about the house fire.
Yeah.
So that's been something I've just been doing on the road, talking to the audience and kind of riffing off the audience. And I'm trying to take it away from the audience now and just have it be a standalone.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's painful.
Yeah, yeah,
it's painful to have to take away part of a joke that gives it life, and you have to figure out another way in.
Right.
You know?
Well, I did Denver.
Right.
And it was amazing. Like I Denver, Colorado. For some reason, they have a 24/7 comedy club, a comedy radio station.
Oh yeah.
And they play all of my albums all of the time, so I am genuinely famous in Denver, Colorado. It was almost like being famous. I said that out loud, and then I was like, no, this is exactly like being famous, where people are shaking when they meet you. And I was like, what's happening? Because there's no greater attainable goal than to meet this. To meet Jackie Cation is very attainable. And so, but they were excited beyond belief. And I sold so much merch, and I sold out two shows, so I got my first ever bump.
That's awesome.
I got more. They're going to send me another check equaling what I made.
No.
Yeah, I made a shit ton of money, and they've rebooked me already for September for double the money I made.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is insane, because by September, because I'm working on this new hour, and it will be better.
Yeah.
But it will be kind of the same fucking hour.
You're going to have back to the same club or the downtown club?
Same club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you better
terrifying.
Fucking right.
Yeah. Except for, and by December, I was hoping to do another album, but all of this stuff is... Some of the stuff is so sprawling, because the way I write, that it takes... if I write a brand new, giant, 12-minute bit, it does take 8 months for me to turn it into a 3.5-minute bit.
Sure.
Because other people write things out, and they, you know, they use a scalpel, like yourself.
Or they just keep it 12 minutes.
Or they keep it here like... Nobody wants it to be 12 minutes.
That's a long, that one down a little bit.
That's a long story. You know the story about the train guy? The guy with the choo-choo train around his neck?
No, what are you talking about?
The bit I worked on tonight.
Oh,
thanks for watching.
I wasn't paying attention all the time.
No, I know.
I was going over some other shit.
No,
I was
know.
Trying to fucking plug the iPhone in so we could have a backup recording. I was doing things, Jackie.
No. It's all good.
I didn't tweet at all, and you can check the time codes.
No, anyway, so I'm working on that new bit, which is just starting to come together. But in the middle of it, there's a story that used to be almost a minute long about this guy that I knew who cut off his own ear.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so that has now tightened up to like 35 seconds. So I'm very happy with that. But there's like 9 of those throughout the 50 minute bit I did. For the 50 minutes I was doing in Denver, when I go back in September, it will be 35 minutes, but then there'll be a new 15 minutes that I will have written that will be too long.
Is that true, or are you threatening yourself right now? With
It seems to be how I'm writing right now. I'm still writing a lot of new stuff, which is amazing. I mean, it's kind of great that I'm in this kind of great place of writing stuff.
Yes.
But what it does is it means I'm not working on the stuff that I've already written because I'm not getting enough long sets, except for that I did just do 6 shows. Mm-hmm. And the Denver run in September is actually a Wednesday through Sunday. And I also just booked Vegas at the Comedy Cellar in Vegas, which is, I think, 11 shows.
Is that a Wednesday through?
It's also a Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh,
might
fun.
Be a Monday through Sunday.
How long are the sets? 20 minutes?
20-minute sets, which will be sweet, except for that that's not what I want to work on. I want to work on hours.
It turns into like Groundhog Day in Vegas when you just keep doing the same short set.
Well, I think, I'm hoping, I don't know what the cellar is. It might be one show a night.
Yeah.
But it might be
well, not if
three.
It's 11 shows.
I fear that it's 11 shows.
Okay.
Have you been to Vegas recently?
No, not at all. The last time I worked was Steve Sciarrapa's room.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and I was featuring, and I told
the
you
the MGM
before.
Or something?
Something like that. It was way out.
It's where there were tigers.
No, it wasn't, God bless you. It wasn't the MGM. It was the Riviera. And the headliner closed on a Columbo impression. And then I was like, I never want to come to this town again. I don't want to work in comedy here. It's awful. Why is this guy headlining?
I tried to do a Columbo impression on a different podcast. I was doing the Monster Party podcast, Matt Weinhold's podcast.
Okay.
And they mentioned Columbo. And so I did the line from Columbo, which is something like, just one more thing or whatever. But the thing is I don't do any impressions. So I just did it in my voice so nobody got it. And then they were like, no, do a Columbo voice. And I was like, don't. Nobody wants that. That's why I've never auditioned for Saturday Night Live. Hey, let's do another. Let's throw another. Listen to another Max Fun.
Okay.
Yeah, let's.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And we're the hosts of
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point had been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.
And we're back.
Oh my God. Are you preparing to mime host the Vegas show with your countdown? You're going to earn that 11K, I tell you.
Oh my God, I'm just trying to give Kyle some time code.
Okay.
Is what I'm trying to do. You guys know Kyle. Okay.
Yeah.
Yay. And Solange's album came out. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle's album came out, and it's like Rad Records or something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we knew? Wouldn't it be great if I had it
enough.
Right? Is that plenty?
Yes.
Because people can Google it?
I'm telling you, I'm going to be in complete misery for the next month while I try to figure out a 5-minute set.
That's
I'm not
amazing.
Going to enjoy a single night of comedy. I'm going to be up on stage every night going, fuck, that didn't work. Or, yay, that worked. But it didn't work the next night. You know, it's,
I don't know. We have such a different experience.
Your joy is depressing to me.
As as you build a cross and lift yourself upon it. And it's exhausting sometimes. It's because I think, because the thing is like I was listening to your set in the back, the whole set. And and so I'm listening to the whole set in the back, and I literally turned to Sue Costello and I said, God, I love this joke. It's a great joke. So, I mean, you have such great material.
Which one was it?
It could have been any of them. Could have been, because they're all so good.
Oh, my God.
I think, oh, shut it. In other words, I can't remember. but it was, but yeah, I think that, okay, I was going to tell you, because late night wise, I forgot that I knew that I was coming here, mm-hmm. but I forget sometimes that I have a representative, that agent.
Sure.
And so I didn't tell him I was coming here. And I said, hey, they have that Comedy Cellar show. Can I be on that? With no notice. Like, I literally emailed him while I was on the plane yesterday.
That you can't. That's not how you do the.
No, no. Turns out.
No.
He said, well, maybe a week's notice next, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
No, you got to get like Cellar Comics to recommend you. I mean, you could just.
Well, that's why I got the week in Vegas.
Oh, good, that's great
because she books that.
Yeah,
but and the thing is, they do that like Pete Lee does it all has done it several times.
Yeah,
the Cellar Comedy Show on the TV show, and
you wanted to get on the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do a cell. It's probably easier to get on the TV show than the actual. Comedy song. No. But
because I think the TV show pays like $1,400.
Oh, okay. And it's all topical.
I just made that number up. I don't actually know what
that
is.
It's all topical material, so it's nothing you were working on anyway. It's stuff you can burn.
No, I would probably end up burning like I did Two Dope Queens.
Yeah.
And that I think
yeah,
I burned
and
the
Carnegie Hall. Yeah, get it. I get it, Jackie. I get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't booked for a late night set without a set.
No, I wasn't booked yet. It was like, hey, we'd like to have you.
We'd love you to do our television program late at night where thousand
that's
other.
Yeah, not a guaranteed booking. It's like, we'd love to have you. Show me the set by this date. That's it.
Let me tell you something. The green of envy of every comic listening is amazing. But no, it's. But the thing is I also. But I. Yeah, I mean, we're living charmed lives at this late date. Yeah. But but the thing is, we're very grateful. So.
But we're still angry, and
we still want more.
We wonder where we'd be had we been born. We've been born with penises, but I'm sure we'd be just fine.
I'd be amazing in the sack.
We'd be on our comeback.
I'll tell you, there was a joke of Dane Cook's that I really liked, but he did too much mugging and it went on too long. It was from that Comedy in the Round business, mm-hmm. and it was about how his dad had how one time when he was very little, he walked into the living room and his dad was sitting there with just a bathrobe and it was open. And he was like 3 or 4 years old, and he was like, what is that to his penis or whatever, to his dad's penis? And his dad said, one day, son, all this will be yours, or something like that. Yeah. It was a very funny joke, except for the fact that it was literally almost 2.5 minutes long. Now, it was just a really fucking long joke for something that was just a very funny little dick joke.
There's a lot of comics like that where I'm like...
That's where all my jokes start, but they're never on television.
But I mean, there's
I tighten
there's
them up.
A lot of comics like that where they're in a big space, so they decide to use the energy of the crowd, and it takes them for fucking ever to get to a punchline because they're looking and mugging, or they repeat something. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, tell the joke. But then it would just be a 30-minute special, you know? It drives me nuts. I think that's a way to add fat to an hour is to go in front of a big crowd and mug it up, which I guess that's a way to do it. But it's so for me watching at home, I'm like, hurry up. I'm not in there. I'm watching in my house. Hurry up.
My Two Dope Queens, they edited out a bunch of me living off the energy, I think. I'm pretty sure because they tightened it up. I'm a fucking genius.
That's it, you guys.
Thanks a lot for coming out and see the live show, you guys.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Well, we have merch for sale. We have like notebooks and totes and all of our individual stuff too. If you guys want to buy any, we'll be back there and we'll sign the stuff.
Thank you for coming out. We hope it was fun to see a live thing with the thing.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.